Thank you, Raj. Well, I think I'm appreciative of this opportunity. Raj and David worked pretty hard on me, and I said, you know, these meetings are when you get in this kind of role, this kind of assignment. You kind of shift out of your researcher mode, and you're involved in so much of the organization, and making sure that it's a quality meeting experience for all those here. And they had to work on me pretty hard to agree to doing this. But in the end, they said what we really would like you to speak about is relative to this overall symposium topic is a little bit a different flavor. Perhaps speak a little bit more to the organizational. Organization of Science Societies and how we deal with being adaptive and being able to respond to science needs. And so it is a different flavor here. So that's what I'm going to speak on. And it's frankly the area that I'm most comfortable talking about because it was just about 5 years ago that Lee Summers and Lo Malger led the task force after the three societies became totally independent, led the task force to a realization that the American Society of Agronomy indeed needed to restructure and gave a very strong recommendation of moving forward. And there was a combination of a survey to the membership of the society, several years worth of discussion of how you do that, what process do you take, and I was a part of that task force then, and then shortly thereafter was honored with being elected as ASA president, and it co-aligned with that timing of when we needed to make this restructuring take place. And so I've been very involved with that, and so because of that, I've been taken through an educational process that I think lends itself well to the topic of what we're discussing. So it's the title being Precision Agricultural Systems, a Model for Integrative Science and Technology. But I kind of going to bounce back and forth between these two. Well, a lot can be said with how societies and organizations have evolved in just a few short decades. There's a number of factors that have been looked at relative to how organizations or societies, and this could be like a professional society, or we could be talking about other types of organizations, even business organizations or cities or whatever, but a number of factors, and you can see those factors. And if you look at how they organized relative to those factors, employment was secure, markets were stable, competition was more national, state, regional, but not overnational. Organizationally, it was hierarchical. The tech driver was mechanization, skills were job-specific, workforce was a machine cog. That means it was kind of grinded out, very repetitive type of workforce. Key factors were capital and labor. It was intercompany, go it alone, and the system was mass produce. Okay, so relative to those factors, that's how organizations kind of those are the descriptive words that how those organizations were in the past. It's not that way now. It's been replaced by a new model. And those descriptive words are, in many cases, it's up to 10 jobs per career. It's not a secure single job per career. It's dynamic. It's global. The organization is that it's networked. The driver is that it's digitized. The skills are ever-changing. Very dynamic in the skill development. The workforce is entrepreneurial. Key factors are driven by innovation and disruptive innovation, as Clayton Christensen talks about often. The intercompany is more collaborative in nature, merging and networking between companies. And then the system is a flex micro type of a system. It's not mass produce. It's on demand. So that's a very, you know, that's a very different type of organizational structure. And this is just in 3 or 4 decades that we have made this overhaul change to the, in a big picture about how we go about the business of, with organizations and responding to how we live in this modern world. Modern organizations are indeed very complex. And so, we might then step back and say, with the science of agronomy, and those words that we now use to describe science of agronomy, adaptive, responsive, real-time, targeted, locally based, efficient, flexible, resilient, integrative. And those are the kind of words that we often like to use when we talk about the science of agronomy. So does it kind of, is there, have we used this kind of language relative to our science, but forgot that that's what we also need to do with how we organize for that science? And indeed, I think that's exactly what has happened. So here we are, American Society of Agronomy, and I would suggest that the new model that we've had to move to uses these kind of factors that were described. And I think it's necessary, it's absolutely critical, it's for survival, and it will mean that we will have relevance into the future. So here we have the ASA restructuring, and we would ask ourselves then now, and this is what we were, just as a reminder, this is what we were just a year ago, okay? Because the new structure didn't officially get started until January 1st of this year. And we had 12 divisions, and those divisions are shown there, and that's kind of how we described ourselves. That was the old model. There were two characteristics, two things we had to do with this old model. The old model was a governance, and its program activities or service activities were very much tied together. And because of that, it was a very dated, slow organizational structure. It was like going down a road with a whole bunch of big potholes, and you're not going to go very fast. It's a very slow meander around these potholes, and you might be able to see out in front of you a little ways, but you're just not going to be very responsive. You're going to have to go slow, and that's what we were. Other characteristic of this thing might be entertained by asking the question, how well has ASA organizational structure defined the science of agronomy? Again, that's what we were in 2010. I would suggest that's the old model. And in order to kind of understand this, you really have to understand the history of this. And we just a few years ago celebrated the 100th anniversary of our society. But our society actually, even though the American Society of Agronomy started it, you have these two other societies that kind of emerged out of ASA, and you can see the years that those started. But then if you look at those 12 divisions that I was showing, that what we represented as of a year ago, you can see that none of those emerged or started really until after CSSA developed. And so as long as we had these other two societies kind of underneath American Society of Agronomy, they helped define what agronomy was, but in a very, very challenging way. And I think it would have been difficult for someone outside of our society to come in and look at the names of these divisions and say, that's what agronomy is about. It describes some of our functions, it describes some of those elements, but it doesn't do a very good job describing the science of agronomy. So our identity, or the identity of the science of agronomy, as might have been defined by the names of our divisions, was not very good. It was bad. Let me show you some data that maybe supports this. I would like to think it supports this. This is using the Google Books Nanogram Viewer, sticking in the word agronomy. Okay? Here's back where the American Society of Agronomy formed. It was not a word that you found in the books published at the beginning of the 19th century, or 1900s, very much. But it rapidly increased and was used quite a bit. But then in about 1980 or shortly thereafter, the use of the word agronomy started fading. And on a relative basis, it dropped. Now we've got two additional ones. We've got agronomy, we got agronomist, and I've also added agronomic into it. And you can see that they track each other fairly nicely up until this point. And then the use of the word agronomic, or used as an adjective, actually crosses over and it's used more. So we were comfortable using the word agronomic, or an adjective form of it, more so than we were agronomy or agronomist. But all three trailed off and diminished in their usage after about 1980. Why? Is it possible that part of the reason why this happened is because, as the science of agronomy being partially defined, or at least described, by the organizational structure of American Society of Agronomy, that did a pretty terrible job of doing that, and over time it started losing its meaning. It started losing its effectiveness in telling others what our science was all about. Interestingly, when we superimpose upon this graph the relative membership numbers of our society, it also has tailed off. So the relevance of the science of agronomy is in part, I think, due to our own organizational ineptness. We failed to realize that we were moving into a new era, and we didn't respond to that, and we needed to. If you're going to have an innovative, as Fran stated in his talk, we need to get to the next level. There's going to have to be dramatic changes in the science and how we go about that science. And if we're going to do that for the science, shouldn't there also be a commensurate change in the way you organize in order to serve that science? Does that make sense? Okay. So with society restructuring at the beginning of this year, we have now programs and services, or program activities, that really start with this group we call communities. And so much of the organization, not just here at the meetings, but elsewhere, outside of the meetings, are done at this level of communities, with sections providing more of a coordination role and a communication role for those communities, but also could provide some organization or planning that is kind of broad in nature. And then separated and decoupled from that is the governance. Totally two different functions of our organization, but separated completely. And here are the current sections. Most of you have seen these now. They're much broader, much bigger, and they're written into the bylaws stable. And now with that, a year ago in Long Beach, many of you saw this display board that we had, because that was our starting point for communities. We invited people to start communities, get this going, identify what area of interest do you have. And this group here, this Precision Agricultural Systems, was one of those communities that emerged out of that. We approved 14 of those communities at Long Beach before we left, increased that by another 13 within a month. And then it increased to up to 36 by the end of March. Now, we haven't had any since, and we really didn't expect it to change much after that. There are some open areas. There are some voids that I think describe what agronomic science, or the science of agronomy, is all about, that we still expect over the next year or two to be filled in. How many communities will there be in a couple of years from now? I don't know. But I think it's going to be in the 40 to 50 communities, but it could change. The communities actually identify for themselves which section they align to. And so you have some sections that have many, many communities, and others that just have a few. And that's okay. Some communities are large, some are small. That's okay. Now, that's about American Society of Agronomy. How about Precision Agricultural Systems, and a model of integrative science and technology, or the organization that would go in for that? Well, this is totally different now, and it's a good contrast for us to look at, because now if you look at that word precision agriculture and look how it pops out into the literature, you find out that it really didn't start until, you know, really the early 1990s, and then it just rose. And that's in part because it developed in the same era of the new model. And so a lot of the things that we think about relative to precision agriculture already meet this new model. And that's wonderful. It's just a timing thing. So precision agriculture science grew out of an era where agricultural issues were recognized as complex interactions between humans and environment, and the environment expressed at all types of temporal and spatial scales. That's where it came out of. Precision agriculture science and technology principles incorporate temporal and spatial assessment, diagnostics, targeting, mass balance, diversity, timing, automation, enhanced input efficiency, socioeconomics, and promoting ecosystem function. So that's very different than that era that American Society of Agronomy started. But it kind of helps you to see why there's such a difference between these two sciences. Experience has shown that precision agriculture increases in its value when problems and the data collection and all that goes into that integrate those skills of the different sciences. And perhaps a good example of that is, as Raj mentioned, or was mentioned earlier, that he's the president of the International the Science of Precision Agriculture, and this just started not that long ago. It's how many years old now? Less than 2 years old. But you can see that in the complexity of these different names. I mean, we've got animals, we got plants, we got environmental issues, we have engineering, we have data processing, there's sensor development, there's a lot of things. And that's just the start, but because it emerged again out of this era, you're going to automatically have those things represented as a part of the society, of that society. Precision agriculture research and education has relied over the year, a decade or two that it's been going, on teams of diversely trained individuals to evaluate and solve problems with many, many issues. Get a drink here. With many issues having all these different hands into the circle, but not necessarily anyone with a dominant hand. Everybody contributing in a very positive, interactive way. So how do we organize? How do we move forward? Well, I would suggest that what we've done as a society, American Society of Agronomy, has been critical. And we need these elements represented in who we are and how we move forward. Now, that's the list of who we are today. I guess the challenge for us is to think about what's this list for the next round, for a decade or two from now, because this is not going to be the same. And can we keep our organizational structure kind of parallel with how things are done into the future? We can't be locked in. I don't expect our society to look like this a decade or two from now. We have to be willing to accept some change with the organizational structure. Read a book here recently that was actually offered to us through Ellen Bergfield, the CEO. It's called The Race for Relevance, and it's a book that actually is written for not-for-profit organizations and associations like American Society of Agronomy. As a part of that, there was this quote in there. I don't have time. It was talking about why people are turning away and not being involved with societies. And you have to remember, when they say I don't have time, it's code for I have better things to do. And it was suggesting these are the five things that we need to look at as a part of organizing in the future, the founding or the guiding principles. It needs to be projects that are meaningful, ideas that help them perform in their work and help them be able to do that more quickly. Bob's example of what he did with those spreadsheets, with what they're doing for farmers in Nebraska and those who tap into the spreadsheets. That's a great, they want to be able to know how to do that and do that more efficiently. Initiatives that are interesting to them, causes they care about, and activities that are fun. That's what people are going to say, I have time for. And I think that's maybe some guiding principles that we need to use for the organization of the future. So new and evolving organizations that recognize and respond to the complex interactions in agriculture with an integrated structure are positioned to contribute meaningful science into the future. And I think this is maybe one of the best examples of this, and that is, and this is not just in the United States, this is global, and Raj had something similar to this on his one of his points, but we are, the water and quality water shortage issues that we will face as we go into the future and is tremendous. And it's going to take a lot of different disciplines working together in fairly dynamic ways. And the organizational, scientific organizational structures that we have can either help deal with those issues or they can hinder. We think it's an important one. In fact, I'm glad Fred just walked into the room because this is exactly one of the issues. He's the chair of the American Society of Agronomy Science Policy Committee. And it's one of the things that we've identified as a high priority as we as a society need to respond to. And we're putting resources and developing the white paper and the commitment to describing the problem well enough so that we also understand how we can organize then to address those issues. And so I think that's a good example of how it's going to take that interdisciplinary, transdisciplinary approach that organizational structures need to have. So with that, I thank you for your attention. I hope that is a contributing message that goes along with the other messages that we've heard this morning. Thank you. How many of you were into the afternoon, the Soils Group have had a survey, the Soil Society, Soil Science Society of America, they have had a survey and a discussion, and they're kind of thinking that maybe we need to respond to some changes, and they had a town hall meeting on Sunday afternoon. Was anybody there? Okay. Richard? What are they going to do? Yeah, and they're struggling with that because they have some pretty strong voices on both sides of the room relative to soils that's not agriculture and soils that integrates with food security and agriculture issue, agricultural issues. So, but I not that I'm also a member of Soil Science Society of America, and I couldn't attend that meeting, and that's one reason why I asked. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how that society also. Looks at these kind of issues and responds to that in the future. Yeah.